Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. On this week's program, I would like to discuss one of those economic events. And economic events are just as moral as social events. Because how one uses money says everything about one's values and priorities. As Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Particularly, the event to discuss is the Biden administration's infrastructure bill, which was just signed into law, and the second Build Back Better bill, which still needs to make it through the Senate. Actually, this is not the Biden administration's bill. This is the Democrat Party bill. The executive branch doesn't write the law. That's the duty of the legislative branch, Congress and the Senate. It's the Democratic leaders who put together these bills to further all sorts of Democrat ideology and party goals. The spending bill that was introduced this summer was split into two parts in order to get it passed. First, the $1.2 billion infrastructure bill, which alleges to be more about roads and bridges, and the second, Build Back Better bill, which is about a boatload of new leftist social programs. Now, the government doesn't have any of this money and is not raising taxes significantly to pay for these expenditures. This is all coming from money that's being created out of thin air. Whether the money is borrowed or whether the money is monetized by the Federal Reserve, that means increasing the money supply and giving it to the government. Regardless of the method, the federal government is still creating money out of thin air. This is identical to a family that has no money, but wants to go on a $50,000 spending spree. Two new cars with 8 years of payment, plus a Disney vacation. And so they borrow money and they kick the can of responsibility and payment down the road. Now, there are many crimes in these bills. First, how this bill is being funded through deficit spending, and second, what the money is actually being used for. Both are wrong, both are unnecessary, both are economically immoral. Do we realize what has happened over this last year? Back in March, Biden signed a $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill, paying for all sorts of government programs, along with sending out free money to every American household. Much of this had very little to do with COVID. But then in November, the legislators passed and Biden signed a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. Now, if that wasn't enough, Congress has now passed the Build Back Better bill, which costs $2.1 trillion. So add this all together, and we get $5.2 trillion in additional federal spending this year. This has never happened in America. The total yearly revenue of the federal government is $3.5 trillion. And the federal budget for fixed expenses is $4.4 trillion. So every year, the federal government goes $1 trillion more into debt. About 25 cents or 30 cents on every federal dollar is borrowed. But now, in addition to the $1 trillion in debt that we normally have, the Democrats have added another $5.2 trillion in debt on top of that. And this is in addition to the current $28 trillion federal debt. The debt is $28 trillion. The deficit is the yearly difference between revenues and expenses for any given year. And this year, the deficit is about $6 trillion. Well, the point I want us to see is that these legislators are spending like a bunch of drunken sailors. And it's even worse than that because at least drunken sailors have the money to spend. So let me apologize to our Navy men for the analogy. Our legislators are worse. They're tripping over themselves to see how much money they can give to their constituency and how much they can buy the favor of the voting public. President Trump gave out stimulus checks, so the Democrats don't want to be outdone. Biden has said a number of times, we have to do more, we have to do more. And, you know, that appears to be the way he deals with social problems in government leadership. There needs to be more government. More government spending is the solution. And these two spending bills, three if we include all of the bills for 2021, reflect that philosophy of governance. That the solution is for the government to spend more money and to create new programs. In this, I can't help thinking of the words of Jesus to his disciples in Luke 22. He said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it's not to be this way with you, but the one who is greatest among you must become the youngest and the leader like the servant. Now that teaching from Jesus is about how Christians should not lord over people, but serve them, not only in our churches, but that also ought to be the attitude in Christian businesses and Christian government. But the first statement Jesus made there is quite interesting. Jesus says that people call their civic leaders benefactors, which is really odd because civil leaders are more akin to taskmasters and thieves. Why would they call them benefactors? Like a rich uncle who sends you a check every month. That's a benefactor. What I believe Jesus is saying here is that he starts off by showing the foolishness of people. These leaders lord over people, but the people still call them benefactors. They fleece the sheep. They slaughter the people like livestock. And yet the people praise them for giving them their feed. Well, what Jesus is saying is that kind of hypocrisy and naivety should not be that way among Christians. The people call them benefactors because they take money from their back pocket and put it in their front pocket. I guess the people didn't see or remember that it was taken out of their back pocket. Or they're happy that the civic leaders, these benefactors, took it from someone else's back pocket. You know, most people wouldn't think of stealing their neighbor's stuff, but they don't mind if the government does it for them. And that's probably what's going on here. And the politicians love to play this game. Win the support of the people by giving them bread and circuses. Acts chapter 12, verse 22 is a very interesting text in this regard. King Herod visited the people of Tyre and Sidon, and the people cried out to Herod, the voice of a god and not a man. You know, they really loved Herod, and they were stoking his ego. Well, earlier in verse 19, we discover why. Quote, their country was fed by the king's country. In other words, Herod was moving money around his kingdom, and the people of Tyre and Sidon were the winners. Just like many American cities take more from the federal government than they send in. Especially when the federal government can borrow money for these states and these states don't have to put the deficits on their books. So, what we're talking about here is taxes. When the government deficit spends, it's really raising taxes. We don't see it, but deficit spending is a way of raising taxes. Let me just explain this for those who are new to this program. The government has property taxes and sales tax and income tax and corporate taxes and inheritance tax and customs and duties. And taxes are spread over every activity to mitigate the pain. If all there was personal income tax, 70% of your paycheck would be taken by taxes. And that would look bad, and the people wouldn't stand for that, so the government spreads taxes over many activities. Well, since raising income tax is unpopular, legislators have figured out a new way to raise taxes without changing the income taxes you pay. They just deficit spend and increase the money supply. By increasing the money supply, it becomes an automatic tax on everyone's money, kind of like what's called a wealth tax, where the government taxes everything you own, the total amount of your house, your savings, your car, and they tax it 3%. They do this in some places in Europe. Now, that would infuriate the public, so the subtle way to do this is to just to increase the money supply. You see, the government really doesn't borrow money anymore. The federal government could never raise $6 trillion by selling government bonds. What happens is that the Federal Reserve simply adds the numbers to the federal government's ledger sheet as a credit, and that's it. More money. And the legislators have discovered how easy this is to do, and they've made this the way they can have everything they want without the negative political fallout of raising taxes. Now, the downside is inflation, but if they can keep inflation below 3%, the public will accept that. So the federal government has added to the list of the way it gets taxes, deficit spending and inflation. So that's why your new car cost $2,600 in 1971 and $40,000 today. And that's why a gallon of gasoline was 32 cents in 1971 and $3.32 in 2021. You say, but look how much more money I make. Well, in that gradual change of inflation, your salary increases are not keeping up with inflation, and that difference is in effect being siphoned off by the government. You are being taxed. And this is what's called in scripture, wicked scales and a bag of deceptive weights, Micah chapter 6, verse 11. Do you get this? This is what third world countries do to raise money. Since they don't have an effective IRS to collect money, and since people are dishonest, it's just easier to print money to cover all government expenditures. So these countries will have 500% to 1,000% inflation every year, and the people just accept this as a tax. But this kind of inflation destroys people's confidence in earning money. And so nobody bothers to start businesses. Inflation always destroys the economy by creating disincentives to work and to produce. Remember last year in Venezuela, they took 6 zeros off of their currency because it became ridiculous to spend $1 million, or rather 1 million bolivars, on a loaf of bread. And Venezuela's economy really right now is non-existent. Before the collapse of ancient Rome, there was money printing and inflation. Because the Roman government could not raise the money through taxes to spend what they wanted to spend. In the first 2 centuries of the Roman Empire, inflation was about 1% per year. But after AD 200, there was a 15,000% inflation over the next century. And it was during that time that the Roman government switched to a fiat currency where money was no longer based on anything like gold or real estate. Now, it could be said that inflation caused the collapse of the Roman Empire. But the mishandling of money in Rome was just the consequences of deeper moral problems. Rome fell because of her immorality, social, moral, and economic. And the lawlessness in America today in regard to morals, transgenderism, LGBTQ, pornography, abortion, is also happening in economics. If there is social immorality, there will be economic immorality. And the fallacy is to think that Americans can be fiscally conservative, but socially liberal. That's actually impossible. If there is lawlessness in social morals, people will also be lawless in their use of money. They will find ways to cheat and steal and spend recklessly. If you're reckless in sexuality, you'll be reckless in money. Matthew 24:12, Jesus said in the last days, lawlessness will increase. So expect economic lawlessness as well. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, the Antichrist is the man of lawlessness. 1 John 3:4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, for sin is lawlessness. And 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, men will be lovers of money and reckless, which means careless, rash, not caring about future consequences. So we need to expect in the last days that the nations and the people will become economically lawless. It's really surprising that over the last few centuries, the nations have generally followed the rights and wrongs of biblical economic law. And Western Christian nations have been successful economically because of this. But as Christianity is being abandoned, so also the rules of economics. Now, when you think about money, realize that it's legal tender. It's based on law. You have the right to buy and sell something because the zeros and ones in your bank account state that you have worked or produced a certain amount to build up a debit balance. It's all based upon trust. It's all based upon accountability and responsibility and merit. But in the hands of the ungodly, all that slowly begins to erode, and you'll be cheated out of your earnings. Proverbs 5:10, the strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien. And Deuteronomy chapter 28, the curse upon those who do not keep the law of God. You will not prosper in your ways, but you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually, with none to save you. You shall plant a vineyard, but you will not use its fruit. A people whom you do not know shall eat up your produce and all of your labor, and you will never be anything but oppressed and crushed continually. Because part of this is unsaved people don't follow economic law. Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. He who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. And this is what's awaiting the ungodly, immoral people in America. They believe they still can have their wealth and break the moral law of God, but that's impossible. The Build Back Better program will result in Build Back Bankrupt. And it's coming. After the House passed the infrastructure bill, Biden's press release statement was, generations from now, people will look back and know this is when America won the economic competition for the 21st century. Unbelievable. When politicians boast in this way, you know it's coming. History will record the opposite, that in 2021, $6 trillion borrowed was the beginning of the end, the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. That's when America lost the economic competition for the 21st century because of reckless, greedy spending. It would be fiscal conservatism and balancing the budget that future generations would say that caused America to win the economic competition for the 21st century, but not for these legislators. They believe the way to wealth is to print money. Now, in regard to taxes, what are Christians commanded to do? Matthew 22:21, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Romans chapter 13, verse 7, render to all what is due them taxes to whom taxes is due. So we're specifically told to pay our taxes, even to bad government. But having said that, we must remember as Christians, we have a prophetic role. We can still evaluate the rightness or the wrongness of tax. Not only are we to judge it, we're to communicate that judgment. Yes, it must be done in love and with gentleness. But nevertheless, we must say something. As an example, the prophet Samuel. He told the people the ruin that would befall the nation because the nation decided on a certain form of government, a dictatorship, over a theocratic oligarchy. And the prophet Samuel said that this king will inevitably abuse the nation with taxation. Well, the big lesson here is that the prophet is saying not all government systems are moral. Some will inevitably lead to government overreach and greed. And all the ancient prophets of Israel would point out to the kings and the civil leadership economic immorality. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13, from the least of them even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. You know, we don't tend to think of the government, the legislators, and the bureaucrats in this way, but our federal government is greedy for gain. That's why in 2021, we have these three reckless spending bills. They want money for themselves, and they want the power to pass out money to their constituents. Isaiah 56:11, the dogs are greedy, they're not satisfied. They are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one. The shepherds there are not a reference to the clergy, but to the civic leaders. As Amos said, I am not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I can guarantee you that one morning you will click on the news and you will read about the total collapse of the American dollar as a world currency and the beginning of a depression like we've never seen. And here's my guess. After this pandemic, another crisis is coming. It'll be an economic crisis, and it'll make COVID-19 look like a slap on the wrist. Now, in closing, for the Christian, this should not cause any panic, because we already know from 1 John chapter 2 that the world is passing away. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the earth and its works will be burned up. So we should already be laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven and not on earth. That's what Jesus instructed us to do. And we already know that the wealth of this earth is deceptive. It's just zeros and ones in some computer, and it can all be erased tomorrow. And there goes your Vanguard account, or your IRA, or your Social Security. You're a fool if you think the wealth of this world is secure and worth living for. And maybe that's the message we should be communicating to our friends and loved ones as we read on the news what the federal government is doing. This is all just a reminder that one better not invest in this world, but in the coming kingdom of Christ and his kingdom. And with that, I will end. I've just discussed the crime and the way that these bills are being funded. I haven't even gotten to the crime and the way the money's being spent. Well, I'll save some of that for the YouTube video version of this program at God and Country Biblical Exposition on YouTube. The website for all these links and to listen to this program again is godandcountryradio.org. That's godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, God and Country Radio. Thanks for listening today. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus Christ and allowing us to be part of his everlasting kingdom of peace and righteousness. May those listening today come into that kingdom by faith and repentance in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.